Whenever you're ready.
And we're live.
Are we live or?
We're live. Go ahead, Tyler. Hit us okay. up. What are we doing?
All right. Shut up. Cool it already. You're taking enough time already. Well, this is Beyond Retro episode 2, ladies and gentlemen, here. And we're back to dig back to the 80s and a little bit of the 90s action as well today. And I'm Tyler Baker. And Joe Amato is here with us. Joe?
How's it going, Tyler? And got somebody new for the show. This is my first time meeting him, so that's why I figured I'd wait till we're all set. I seen him before we started, but I was like, no, I'm going to wait for the introductions that Tyler will do between us all here. So who's our new member?
Our new member here is someone I've known since 10th grade in high school. And I was going to introduce some in hopes that people would think that Ken Anderson was going to be showing up on the podcast to do Beyond Retro, and then they find out that it's not Ken Anderson, but it's Nathan Kennedy, Mr. Kennedy.
Hey guys, how's it going?
Thanks for having me. Oh, yeah, it's great. I mean, when Tyler said, you know, you're a super fan of all things 80s, 90s, from games to horror to cartoons to whatever you can think of, I was like, this guy sounds like the perfect person that needs to join us for this show. Oh. Because, as you know, I mean, me and Tyler, there's only so much we can contain between ourselves. So to have another member makes it perfect.
Oh, well, it's great to be here. And, like, Tyler and I have been talking about, everything retro 80s, 90s for as long as I've known him. His main passion being He-Man, and you guys doing that podcast has been really great work as well. So thanks for having me on to this one.
Oh, yeah, no doubt. So this one, we're going to talk about some of the great 80s game shows for kids and then some slipping into the 90s. But, Tyler, if you want to start off and then have Nathan go right into it of whichever one you want to start with, because there's plenty of them.
We're going to start with the best of the best. And, you know, for those of you who don't want to talk about, we're particularly looking at the game shows of the late 80s on Nickelodeon. Because we're not really going to be talking about Price is Right during the 80s or Let's Make a Deal with Monty Hall and stuff like
that. Yeah, we're talking about kids ones that were geared towards kids.
Yeah, like Concentration with Alex Trebek, even though that was a cool show too, I remember enjoying. But these are kids-based game shows that I'm sure people who listen to this podcast will be somewhat familiar with the ones we're talking about. And we're going to start with, you know, I think anybody who would want to argue that this is not the definitive kids game show, I think they'd be heavily outnumbered to sit there and say that they thought, I don't know, there was a bunch of crummy was Nickelodeon did in like the late 90s, early 2000s. But anyway, Double Dare, hosted by Mark Summers, is going to be our first game show that we're going to dive into and just praise the hell out of, from the dynamic of the show to the various physical challenges and the obstacle course, but that seemed to flip-flop every single episode. It changed, you know, from various Sunday slides to noses leaking snot and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and pizzas. It's so we'll just kind of dive in and get your all's initial thoughts on the show before we get right into the meat of it.
So go ahead, Nathan, newest member, start us off. What's your thoughts?
My thoughts on Double Dare, like Tyler said, probably the definitive children's game show, especially in regards to hosts, and we'll probably get into that a little bit later because I did a little bit of research on some of the shows that took place during that time period. And Mark Summers definitely has the right personality. When you go back and you watch some of the other shows that we're going to touch on, you kind of notice that it just seems like they did a quick audition, here we go. But Mark Summers, just the way he carried himself, he actually seemed like he wanted to be there, and you don't get that a lot in some of the other shows that Nickelodeon did through the early to mid-90s.
No, he enjoyed it, and you could tell it's what Tyler said before, too, and we've all said is Mark Summers talked to these kids or whoever the contestants were, because eventually we got Family Double Dare, but he didn't treat them like they were Well, like children, or talk down. Yeah,
Morons.
morons, or children, or talk down to them, or just God, because as you said, we'll talk about some of these other hosts that just the way they spoke to the kids, and it also was like you didn't feel like the kids were always under pressure, like he didn't literally shove a microphone, but like some of those other hosts, you know, it's basically like, what do you like to do? What do you do here? And these kids, I've never seen kids look so uncomfortable on other game shows, but not on Double Dare. I mean, he didn't do that to them. It started right off into the action, said a quick thing, and then bam, got into it. But Mark Summers, yeah, he is pretty much he is the best game show for all the kid shows that you could think of. But Double Dare itself, God, I mean, just what a super, I mean, what an exciting show that you always dreamed you could be on, you know, whether it was you and a friend or eventually then when you seen family Double Dare, you were like, oh man, that'd be a dream. And then the times that they'd have sometimes a celebrity, you thought, how cool would that be? I mean, like the perfect mix. I mean, the time they had Bobby the Brain Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon for Slopamania, I was like, oh man, I would have loved to have been on that episode, sitting next to Bobby Heenan, or maybe Mr. Perfect and Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I mean, you guys remembered a couple of those episodes, didn't you? Because, oh, I loved when the Brain was on. I loved when he was on. Because it's mixing wrestling. We love wrestling. We love that. And I didn't know if you guys remember those episodes, but they were good ones.
I didn't know they were on there, Joe, so you're just assuming that I knew that. No, I did not know that they were on there.
Now that shocks me because you're right. I do assume, you know, that Tyler, because, you know, you have a great memory for half this stuff. And, well, not to, I mean, just you probably didn't see those episodes. But, no, there was a certain episode where it was Bobby Heenan.
The episodes that were done that without the parents, right? I'm assuming that those did not have parents.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, and what's even cooler about it was just
– they're still airing the pairs of kids. And I think from 80 or probably 89 and on, it was Family Double Dare. So I got to see a lot of the pairs of kids, but because I think the show started airing in, I think, 86, 87.
I honestly can't remember if it was 87 or 8, but I know in 88, I think it was 88, was the time when Bobby Heenan and Gorilla Monsoon were on. And you're right, it was just, you know, one celebrity with one kid. The cool thing is, no matter who won at the end, the kids didn't know, but basically they let both kids win it all. Because like on that particular episode, Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby, I mean, he was doing great with his partner and they won and they went to the end. And I think when they got to maybe the fifth or sixth obstacle, I think you seen Gorilla Monsoon choke holding Bobby's partner in the background, holding him so he couldn't get to whatever obstacle. And then, you know, the Brain, he falls in this pile of mud, or I think Gorilla flipped him into it. But then they said, hey, you from the other team, whatever the girl's name was, they said, you guys both win it all. They just gave everything to both the kids. So it was fun. It was basically like you were going on there and you were with the celebrity, they were going to give you all the prizes for both teams, no matter what, or both kids. So yeah, you'll have to YouTube it. Those were some cool episodes. And they did the same slapstick humor that, you know, Bobby and Gorilla like doing. So it felt like it went from primetime wrestling right into, you know, Double Dare. It was a perfect mix.
Yeah, I'll have to check that out. Nathan, do you know about that?
When Joe started talking about it, like I vaguely kind of remember like that end part, but other than that, I don't really recall the wrestlers and everyone being on there.
Okay, yeah, it was just a couple times.
Several years older than us. Joe is in his, what, late 50s, I guess?
Well, I thought you were telling me before we started this that he was in his early 60s, maybe?
Pretty close, pretty close. That's why I wear the mask. You guys don't want to see the old man. I'm this man behind the mask you don't want to see.
It's like Benjamin Button.
But, yeah, yeah, exactly. In about a year or something, you're going to see me and I'm going to be like 20. But, no, it was pretty cool, like I said, with the celebrities and things. But the show, I mean, it was one of the ones that, like, you know, you've seen it. It's just from beginning to end, you love the excitement. You know, you almost never wanted them to answer the questions. I know I didn't. I was like, oh, please don't know the answer.
I liked them to be able to. I mean, I wanted the kids to keep going, keep getting in. I'd pick my team. Depending on how they look like a bunch of doofuses. I'm rooting for the opposite team. But I'd pick one team. I'd want the name. I didn't want always the physical name. Of course, if they had to accept that physical challenge where they had to take like an orange, like Nerf ball and soak it in orange juice and then like squeeze it and take run over to your partner and squeeze it in like the top of their head. And you got to get it above the line here in 30 seconds. It's like, you know, to watch it as a kid, you're thinking like, how the hell can you not do this? Do you watch this as an adult? I imagine that's extremely stressful on a child. Fill up this little cup with this little pissant, you know, shot glass size, you know, Nerf ball that you got to run over your partner, but you can only do it on top of your head here, and if it falls off, it doesn't count. And you know, it was it seemed to be very stressing at times because the other team gets the points you get and stuff like that. But sometimes they'd have some really cool questions that you might know, like they would ask like social studies questions, then they would ask pop culture questions.
Yeah, there was, I think, even a team one time, that's what they were known for, was their strategy. I don't think they went to a single, you know, physical challenge. I think that they answered everyone. In fact, what they do is they had control, and then you would say dare. The other team said double dare, and then when it came back to the team that said dare, they knew the answer. It's like they were using the strategy. They figured the other team was dumb. So
which team are you talking about? There was so many shows. You have a specific team, like the
I'm terrible with remembering names, like, yeah, like when, you know, you have the Rainbusters and the whatever else. I'll be honest, I couldn't remember a lot of the names of the teams. I just remembered sometimes the episodes, but there was a particular team that just used strategy, and I don't think they ever did one physical challenge, and they had a super high score because they would just always dare the other team, and they figured the other team were morons. And sure enough, that other team never knew nothing. They always had to double dare it back, and the other team answered it right every time. So, but yeah, when it came to the show and, you know, you got going with the obstacles, I mean, there was the ones that you loved to hate. Some just drove you nuts. You know, like I've said to Tyler, I mean, the one that drove me insane sometimes is just the pizza. I mean, they flip over that pepperoni, and it's right on the pepperoni or just under them. Like, how are you not seeing this? It's right there. You'd scream at the TV. You'd have a heart attack. But, like, Nathan, what were some of the ones that you remember maybe being your favorites, ones that drove you nuts? I mean, what were your thoughts on a lot of these challenges?
I remember the one challenge there towards the end. It's almost similar, I guess, to the pizza, but, like, the peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Wow. It was kind of the same way. You're just sitting there, and you can kind of see Mark Summers, like, oh, that buddy doesn't really want to say anything. Because he kind of wants them to figure it out on his own. He's kind of yelling at him. Probably the one that I would think most people remember is the nose, like having to dig in the nose and dig through there and get out. There is one question I wanted to ask, because you were talking about that episode where they were using the strategy to obtain all the points. How did they end up doing at the end when it actually came to the physical part?
Did they win that? You know, I that's weird, because that would be funny, you saying that. What if they use strategy for the mental because they sucked at doing
and
physical?
They sucked at the off course. Like,
that's
they had
something. I'm going to try to YouTube that later after we're done. That would be terrible. What if they did go to the end and they just got to, you know, like the third obstacle and suck? I don't know, because you're right. There were some of them, like, you know, like you said, picking the nose. I liked it, obviously, when the kids would get down there and quickly looked under, and you could sometimes, they knew it was right there on the edge or this corner, but then you get some of these people that just blindly shoved their hands up, and they wouldn't find it. They'd be there for the whole 45, you know, seconds. Like, if they got there with 45 seconds left, it's like, would you just stick your head underneath and see if you can look up that nose? Instead, they're just putting their hands in blindly, and they never thought, oh, God, the pick in the nose. I mean, now that you reminded me on that, I think I might have hated that more than the pepperoni pizza just because they wouldn't look up. I'm like, look up. But Tyler, any ones that drove you bonkers on those obstacles?
probably the ones where you had to dig through like sludge, which is the three that we've discussed already, and you know, because a lot of times they would put the nose at the very end or the pizza at the very end, or sometimes they'd stick one in the middle of the eight obstacles, and you wouldn't get to see the other four because sometimes they put them in there good and deep sometimes, where it's like, no, it's not just going to fall out sometimes, and and if you want to, you know, see that, unless the grand prize is going to space camp, I'm like, man, that price sucks, man. Why can't they go to Universal Studios or Nickelodeon, not space camp?
Well, I mean, they're already there, right?
Well, the show was filmed in Pennsylvania,
really,
from what I remember.
Filmed
in Pennsylvania, because I thought that too. I thought it was filmed at Nickelodeon Studios, Florida. Because I used to wonder about that too. Like, well, they're there; they get a free trip. Well, I think the show. I listened to an interview with Mark Summers earlier this year, and I'm pretty sure the show was filmed in Pennsylvania. I think at the PBS studios, I think. But I may be incorrect on that. But that was you know, the big grand prize was to go to Universal Studios or Nickelodeon Studios, and at the very end of it. You have Harvey say you get like a jukebox if you get the second option. You get a Tyco RC car if you get the third one. You get some sort of a Toys R Us or KB Toys gift card.
I love seeing that. I always like seeing when they offer that. Yeah,
that was always a fun one. Those three were probably the hardest. They even had the car wash one, which the kids would be slipping. Isn't there one where they had to go to like a car wash, like this kind of foam padding with water in there, and they're trying to get through it. I mean, and it doesn't look hard at all, but because it's the last one, they're slipping, falling all over the place, trying to get that damn flag. And sometimes that would be, you know, elusive to the contestants. But the Sunday slide will forever be the definitive obstacle on that course. Climbing up that greasy or kind of slide panel to get up to the top and to go down that hot fudge slide with that big kind of kiddie swim pool of ice cream with like three massive lumps of ice cream down at the bottom. The coolest, it's like it that made or break the or broke the show for me as a kid when I would watch it and wait to see if that Sunday slide was going to be on there.
Especially when they learned the Sunday slide, because at least, you know, from mental memory, not saying this how it was, but like the first time you basically seen that, you'd see them trying to run right up the middle of that slide, kept going down and down, and then they're holding on the sides and trying to pull themselves up. And eventually they learned they're allowed to put their feet off to the sides of the thing and go up. Yeah, because if you ever see, I was like, oh God, don't put your feet in the middle, go off to the side. Like the one I think that drove me nuts, I don't know if it was like an ant farm. I hated seeing that.
Yeah, the ant farm, you got to climb over the top and go down to the bottom. You remember that one, Nathan?
No, actually I don't. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. I mean, there were so many different obstacles, but there was this.
What about the wrestling ring? The wrestling ring, you had to jump in the ring and get the flag off the big bald-headed wrestler.
Yeah.
Cool, man. I like that one. It was simple, but it was cool.
Yeah, they had cool ones, but then they had ones that just, you felt like, you know, because I always wanted to see them obviously go to the end and win everything. And when they would hit some of those obstacles that looked like they'd slow them up, like the ant farm, and this other one was similar. It was one where you had to go up, I think, I don't know, a ladder, jump down a chute, pull a rope, and a bell would have a flag come down. Then you had to go back. Yeah, you had to go up another ladder, go down the chute. I'm like, oh my God, this is going to take them 15 seconds.
Is that the one, something called, because all the obstacle courses, like every obstacle had like a name for it. And I the one that like had to ring like three different bells.
Oh, what was that one? Yeah, wait, there was something like that. I think they had to go from one to the other and wait for the flag, and then sometimes they just never seen it, never pulled hard enough.
And you had the soda fountain, you had to step on the button and have like orange soda, grape soda, or like another soda fall out, and you had to get the one with the flag that would come out. You guys remember that one?
Yep, I remember that one. I mean, there was a ton of different.
The dog food one. We forgot about the messy ones. There's about the dog food. You had to go through the dog door and dig through that sludge of dog food trying to find that flag.
And then that's another they rarely ever found. Yeah, they rarely ever found. Real quick, I want to say in the chat.
That actually might be tougher than the picking the nose one because that you couldn't see. It was just, you know, blindly digging around in there.
Oh, and speaking of that, I think in the early ones, and I don't think this kept going because, you know, there was a lot of them they took off. Some because they were just so difficult or annoying, others that were dangerous. But do you remember the one where they ran and it was like an hourglass that started dropping balls into a pit?
Oh, yes. Already? Oh, that one was cool. I remember that.
Yeah,
remember
because that it was. Do you remember that one?
It's vaguely remembered. To me, I mostly just remember like the pizza, the sandwich, the nose picking, the Sunday slide, and a couple others you mentioned. But there's some of them you guys are bringing up now. I'm just kind of like,
What about like the hamster wheel? You had to get on that wheel.
And the flag. I remember that.
That was the last thing. Yeah, they always try to save that for last, and you better have
one of the last ones they would do on there. Yeah, but
you pretty much.
I can't believe you remember that ball. I completely forgot about the hourglass ball pick. Because the first, they tell them to jump in, and they would sink down to the bottom in that massive hourglass full of like this plastic balls, like in a ball pit, come out the bottom, have to grab them. Oh, that was cool, man.
Well, there was two. There was the one where you jumped in the balls that you came down a door. Then there's the other where there was these balls that were in a pit. You had to run up to it, and as you came up to it, these balls would start falling, and it made it worse for when you're digging trying to find the flag. It was two different ball ones. There was the giant one, like it was the gumball machine. I think that's the one you're thinking of. You jumped into
Maybe I think
the
more gumball. Yeah.
Yeah, so it was the gumball machine and then this goofy hourglass. But the hourglass was so annoying because you had the flag hidden in the balls. But when you started going up there, it was just emptying more and more balls on you and made it worse and just sucked the time away. But I was going to say real quick, I wanted to acknowledge in the chat room, we have Eric Amon. He said the show was first filmed in Pennsylvania at first, but in 1989 moved production filming to Florida. So thank you for that, Eric. Appreciate it.
Well, because I thought that too, and then I heard Mark Summers. Yes, I'm glad he clarified that. So we're both right and wrong there.
Yep, and then also Eric said, man, he says, I love that show, but you guys remember way more than I do. He said, I wish they had a show like that on today. He said, my 8-year-old would undoubtedly love it. And that's funny. That's
so it's on YouTube. It's on YouTube right now, bud.
Well, it is, but, you know, I agree with Eric. It's something we were going to talk about, too. That's what sucks. Nowadays, there's nothing for kids that are fun like this. It's like, what happened? Me and Tyler kept saying, bring back Double Dare the way it used to be. Not some of this. Because what did you say, Tyler? A couple years ago, they did this fun thing at Universal Studios that sucked, or one night or some garbage. What was that?
Well, no. Mark Summers came back for like a reunion special, I think, last year. It was airing like on a Friday night on Nickelodeon. It was just like a one night only special. I don't know what the purpose was for it. Maybe it was to see if there was an audience for it. Or maybe someone at Nickelodeon got nostalgic and just wanted to bring Mark back to do like a commemorative episode. But, you know, I that's about all they did. And then they did Double Dare 2000 with this, you know, D minus host, you know, and I saw the host, took a glance at the show. I'm like, this does not have the magic of Mark Summers. And I was not interested in it. I just, you know, and I blame mainly the host because I just felt like, this guy, he just, and as we go on to the various other shows, the hosts are trying so hard, you know, to get favored in their humor and their yucks, and they're practically doing everything but, you know, throwing a banana peel on the ground and deliberately walking over and stepping on it and hoping that the kids laugh. You know, it was just Mark spoke to him, you know, like, you know, just, you know, just like a fun uncle, whereas everybody else is trying so hard to put themselves. This is about the kids, you know, answering the questions and getting the challenges taken care of, and that's why I just felt like I didn't give Double Dare 2000 a fair shot. And I think it's on YouTube as well. I think Nathan's even got on the that DVD.
Yeah,
set.
Yeah. Tyler actually, for my birthday this year, got me a DVD that contained like an episode of regular Double Dare, Family Double Dare, Double Dare 2000, and then like Legends of the Hidden Temple and some episodes of Guts and Nick Arcade.
Oh, yeah. Well, hey, since you got a DVD with that, Tyler, which one do you want to go to next? Or Nathan, which other Nickelodeon show did you want to hit into? Because there's a bunch of them. Which one's memorable? What do you want to, which one?
I would say one that's memorable for me would be Legends of the Hidden Temple, for sure. I feel like that's one that gets a lot of nostalgia, I believe, you know, with the different teams making the t-shirts and everything that you didn't really get with Double Dare and some of the other shows that came out. It goes to like the host of that show, and we're probably going to talk about it, but that guy just always seemed like annoyed all the time. Like kids would just answer things wrong and he would just look at them like, what's wrong with you?
And what did you think of the obstacles itself, like what they had to do, especially at the end? Did you get antsy with that, wondering what the hell was going on half the time? Because sometimes they looked absolutely lost. I mean, they're describing to do one thing, and they're not even having to do that. I'm like, what is going on? It just seemed like it was insanity.
Yeah, one of the episodes I watched on the DVD there at the end, like, there's the one kid is just, like, stuck in one room and just wasting so much time. And it's just, like, not even doing anything either, just, like, looking around. And you hear the host, like, trying to make it sound exciting, but the kid's just standing there. And I'm just kind of looking at the TV, like, how did this happen? You know, like, because I imagine there's got to be a process, right, that they interview certain kids, or do you think that they just forms and they just, like, pluck kids out of it? Well, you're going to be on the show today. I'm kind of curious about the inner workings of all of that.
I think with a lot of these, and I'm thinking of Double Dare when I share this, that I think that the kids that would be on the taping would do like dry runs of certain obstacles and stuff like that. So at least they would be somewhat familiar if they did make it to obstacle course, or perhaps they even did a dry run before they actually filmed it in front of the live audience.
Well, now I'm just kind of wondering like what the hell happened to that kid if they actually practiced it beforehand, because he's just like lost.
Well, I mean, you look at that, and if nobody remembers anything else about Legends of the Hidden Temple, it was the end of going through the. They would have like a different name for the obstacle course. It would be like a different theme, but it would still be kind of an archaeological kind of Egyptian motif with the kind of voodoo witch doctor or headhunters roaming around inside there. But you would always have like the room you had to put together, the monkey, the three piece monkey statues you had to put together. You'd have like these little icons like you wear around your neck that if you got picked up by a headhunter, you hand them that piece, the medallion.
A free life or something, yeah.
Yeah, but it was, I watched one of them last night, and I mean, it looked really hard considering there was a team that I watched. The girl got kind of completely dumbfounded and lost, and she eventually got grabbed. Her male teammate came in, and he got it out within like the last second, finished it. But it's a big, elaborate course. Now, of course, TV may be making it look a lot more elaborate than it really is, but it looks like, you know, with 2 minutes, you know, under a time limit, you got to figure out puzzles and buttons and things like that spur of the moment. I mean, I imagine if you're trying to win, it's kind of, I'd imagine it'd be kind of nerve-wracking to win that show. You know?
Yeah. No, you're right. I think the same thing. It's just like the stress, you know, the pressure. I mean, hell, you'll see people going on video game shows that are adults and, you know, they sit there and freeze on answering a question. You can only imagine going on a game show where you have to go through a whole course. And see, that's the thing, is a viewer, when you're watching, you don't know, like, where is he going? What is he supposed to do? You know, it for me, I'm just saying for me, not from everybody else, it drove me nuts. Like, compared to Double Dare, you know, I knew, okay, you had to go here to here to there, it's bright. It's the studio. You know what's going on. Then we go to Hidden Temple, and it's like, God, it's dark. There's parts when they're going into a crack, they're lost. Are they going up? Are they going down? Are they going to the side? And it just made me too antsy. That show actually drove me nuts.
But it was so good because of that, though, because it was such an elaborate obstacle course, you know, because it was, I mean, they got these like small like crevices where you had to crawl up underneath, kind of, you know, weave through it to get to this top level, drop down into a big pit and hit this button and climb through this door. Or they'd have like vases you had to break. I mean, it was extremely ambitious for a children's show when it comes to, you know, like you have to accomplish all these, you know, puzzles and feats of strength, so to speak, of like, you know, climbing up and doing all this stuff within 2 minutes. And otherwise your partner's going to be kicking you in the nuts when you get finished because you failed. I've often thought what Nathan would have been like had I known him when we were little. And him being on one of those shows, Nathan being prone to like, you know, yelling and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, I definitely would have yelled at you. But, I mean, it goes to say, like, I know I was shitting on that kid that I was talking about, but I probably would have been super stressed out had I been in that situation. Because, you're under that time limit, it's so elaborate, and you're just, I would be just as lost, probably.
Yeah, and you, I mean, definitely, I mean, if you, every one of those kids were probably feeling like that. Like I said, just as a viewer, and for me, I've always been one of those, hey, look at that light. There's light appearing everywhere in everybody's room. It's not mine. But no, I was always the person that I loved screaming at the TV. I loved it too much because I don't know. I just, as you can see, I just get worked up. And when I'm not knowing what's going on, it would drive me nuts. And I think that's what made me hate watching the end of Hidden Temple usually, just because it just, I was like, damn it, is he coming up left, right? And I'm like, it says squeeze the monkey or squeeze this. And like, he's not even squeezing it, but he's still getting through the room. What the hell is going on? Because the host is telling one thing.
He didn't have to squeeze, put the monkey together.
Well, maybe not that one, but there was like in one of those rooms, I know they had to squeeze a statue or squeeze something.
Hug. It was like you had to hug the monkey.
Yeah, and then did you notice that in some of these times, they didn't even have to. They didn't have to hug it. They hit a button and went through. I'm like, well, the host is saying one thing that they're supposed to do, and they didn't have to do it. I'm like,
Nathan, because the guy was like a manic depressive. He probably just, you know, he's probably doing cocaine and stuff like that before he came out and filmed, but because he's dealing with all these moron kids.
Well, remember that, because there's definitely hosts we're going to talk about later. This guy I'm going to have fun talking about. There's one host later I'm convinced is on drugs for one of these video games.
Yeah, he definitely was. Yeah, the one thinking of it, he definitely was a cokehead, is the Stunt man would call him.
Yeah, so yeah. But Hidden Temple, like I said, fun, but out of, let me think. Now, I don't know all the Nickelodeon ones we're going to talk about, but so far, that's my least favorite out of all the Nickelodeon game shows. But if we mention this one other, because I don't know if Tyler's going to bring it up, there is one that I put below that because I never found no entertainment into that show at all. But we'll see if Tyler brings it up.
Okay, I'm guessing this one right, and this was, if I'm guessing right, something that both me and Nathan both enjoyed, regardless of some stuff in it, because, and this one did have a few celebrities, like Nickelodeon celebrities. Nick Arcade.
Oh, no, I hate, no.
Well, no, I like Nick. You really didn't like that show?
No. I like Nick Arcade. No, I did like that.
I thought, because you told me you had all these issues with the end, but they go inside the game.
No, not my least. Hold on. No, I'm saying I liked it, but that's not my least favorite. That's not beneath Hidden Temple. There's something that's
What's your least favorite? Before we get going with this, then, because I'm.
What would you do? I just did not find
that. That wasn't a game show, though.
Oh well, I thought you said you were going to talk about what would you do.
Well,
I thought
because it was Mark Summers related. It was like people coming on there with like crazy talents and
yeah. Okay, good. Then we'll ignore that.
Fart, you know, the alphabet. And stuff
yeah, that
like
was
that.
Stupid.
Go to
good,
the wall
good.
At the end of the show.
Okay, I thought I was concerned. I thought you were going to bring that up. So good. Thank God we're not talking about that. But
no. It was like Nathan. Wouldn't you say that what would you do was kind of like a talent show slash kind of. You know, hey, anyone in the audience?
That's what I meant.
Yeah, well, it wasn't like a traditional game show, though.
I mean, it was okay, but I'll kind of agree with Joe that what would you do kind of sucked in hindsight when I'm really thinking about it now. It
well,
wasn't
it
that good.
The Double Dare, I will say that. I'm not going to say that, but it wasn't something I made sure I made a point to sit down and watch, but it was always in that lineup on the weekends, like on Saturday and Sunday evenings around like 4 or 5 o'clock. They'd play like What Would You Do and then Double Dare in the middle of Salute Your Shorts or something like that. So I enjoyed it. It was a good time filler and sometimes it was fun, but no, it was, you know, I almost say that. Well, no, I really can't say Guts was less liked because I enjoyed Guts. I just hated Mike O'Malley and, you know, some of that stuff, you know, the host on the show and stuff like that. But what would you do? No, it's not a. I wasn't even going to mention that one because I just never think of that good. As a quintessential Nickelodeon game show, so to speak.
Well, good. Thank God. I thought you were going to. But no, Nick Arcade. No, Nick Arcade. No, you're right. See, in comparison to a show we're going to talk about later, see, I was a super gamer. And I was like, here we go. Here comes Joe and his damn video game.
Story about how I got my Spider-Man jacket from 1992.
Shut up. I'm not going to bring up about winning.
It's on the Mr. Rogers jacket. Feeds the fish.
Put a pipe through the hole of my Jason mask right here as I'm talking. But no.
Yeah. Thoughts here. And you got like a nice big bubble above Joe's head reflecting the memories of little Joe.
No. Like I said, I was a super gamer, so when I seen these, what you want to say, made for that game show games, to where the interaction, like at the beginning, you know, playing a game where they have to blast these meteors coming, and then sometimes I'm like, didn't.
Oh yeah, that was a cool. I always enjoyed that though.
I hated it because I was like, hey, shot that, hey, shot that, and it never acknowledged it. So it drove me nuts that they play these mock-up games to where the interaction sucked. But I loved when after they're going down, you know, picking, you want to go left, right, up, down, and then bam, they landed on the part where they play a video game, and they had a choice of a Genesis, Super Nintendo, TurboGrafx, whatever. I was like, now this is fun. They're playing real video games.
They didn't. They designed the game.
What's that?
No. No. It's called the Video Challenge, and they had like 8 games to choose from, and they would just tell them, you know, what, you know, Ghosts and Goblins, Air Raiders, or, you know, Super Ghouls and Ghosts, or not Ghosts and Goblins, Super Ghouls and Ghosts. That's what it was, yeah.
What happened? I just said, that's what I said. I liked when they played.
But you didn't. You said, like, they're going to play Sega, they're going to play Nintendo, they're going to play the Atari S6, SS3.
I meant. Those were options of systems. Okay, let me say the specific games. They got to play Super Castlevania. They got to play, you know, Kid Nicky. They got to play Bonk on TurboGrafx. Is that better, you twit? So anyways.
Yeah, by the way, Nathan, do you like Kid Chameleon?
Shut up. We're not going to start with that. Don't you dare start with that.
Hey, hey, this is my first time on the show. I'm not gonna do anything to make him too angry, and I'll just leave it at that.
Oh, you hear that though? He wasn't he, if he liked Kid Chameleon, he just can't would have come out and say it there,
I'm gonna have it out with Tyler about Kid Chameleon one of these days. But anyways, I liked when they got to play the real video games, when they had a choice of playing the games. That to me got me excited. The fake game sucked, but at the end, it was cool seeing them interact in a video game. What kid wouldn't want to be in their own video game? But that was something that drove me nuts too. It's like, are they not touching the little idol? Ain't they touching the rock that's moving? It's like the interaction of it like sucked, and they're always getting hit by a boulder, and then they seem like they lost so badly. So Nick Arcade was fun for some things, but damn, did I hate that end, because I told you I got worked up on stuff. But go ahead, Nathan. That was just me getting worked up.
Oh, I just when we're talking about the selection of games and the episodes that I watched on that DVD, like most of them were just the space shooters, the over the top stuff. Like they're, I was hoping for more side scrolling things, but it was just a lot of space shooters. I'm like, all right, here's eight arcade cabinets and six of them are basically the same thing. What's the point? Oh, you got to get 200 points to get this, and it's like, they could have. I feel like they could have done a lot more in that regard. I don't know if that was like rights issues with what they could have and couldn't have.
I know they did have some side scrollers, but there were side scroller games I never even heard of. Maybe there were some ones.
Well, it was like Ghosts and Goblins, and there was another one that you had mentioned. I remember those, but everything else is
Yeah,
just
like
space shooter.
yeah, because I think sometimes they did Bonk. I think they did Bonk for TurboGrafx, because that was, the flagship game for
Right.
TurboGrafx was Bonk. I think
Is
they
that the
did.
little caveman guy?
Yeah.
Yeah, with the big head
Yeah.
and boom, boom. Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, what was so cool? I mean, the whole show, aside from the host acting like he was, shooting heroin before, he was trying. So, I mean, he had to always be so animated. I mean, even when he's like, Anton, all right, Nathan, you're going to be playing this Tyler. We want you to wager how many points, you're willing to bet on your partner here. And he would have to sing along with the music while you're writing on the etch-a-sketch or whatever it is. It's like, dude, shut up, man.
But
I'm trying to write the damn number
not
here.
only that too, but like in the process he would stumble over his words. Like he's got the cue cards right there and like he just fumbled like constantly. I'm watching that DVD and I'm just sitting there with a drink in my hand and I'm just looking at him. And I'm like, how did this guy get hired? It just didn't make any sense when you compare him to like a Mark Summers, who was just always top notch and on his game.
I mean, overall, I liked the host of Nick Arcade at times, but there was just something. I mean, in comparison to like the host of Video Power, he's Mark Summers compared to that guy. But he was just trying so hard to be, dun 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 dun. It's just constantly like dancing and saying, like, dude, it's not necessary, man. Stop, monkey here. You don't need to be so. Especially when the kids aren't laughing, the audience isn't laughing, nobody's laughing at this guy. They're not even getting a reaction. It's just kind of one of those awkward laughs, that the kids would do because they feel like they have to do something because he's in their face and dancing around and, but the whole concept of the show too of playing that game with Mikey, the narrator would say, okay, this week Mikey's going to the deep swamps and you got to avoid, the nasty crocodile hunter here, but where he's lurking out there. And have Mikey walk right, and it would be picture puzzle, and then you have to put together like this like picture with like static all over, trying to figure out what is this picture. And there was a lot of cool challenges on Nick Arcade to get points, asking trivia questions. But as we all said, we're all waiting for that video challenge to land because they had so many games to choose from. That was the big highlight and finale.
And what did you think of the grand finale? Did it drive you as nuts as me, or?
No. I always wanted to see Mongo because he was my favorite of the three villains. You had Merlin, Sorcha, and Mongo. And Mongo was the big muscle guy with like the spiked green armor. And I mean, they would have various stages with like snakes flying around and rocks and birds and stuff like that and harpoons being thrown at you. And it was mesmerizing to me because I remember when the host would say, "All right, guys, go in and battle Mongo," and the doors would open and the smoke would come out, and you'd be like, "This is the most epic thing I've ever seen in my life." And to see these kids go in and play, have to hit these coins and dodge the fireballs from Merlin or Sorcha or Mongo, it was unbelievable to me as a kid. I wasn't tearing it apart like you,
Yeah, see, that is you're right. I think that might be
But there were glitches on the show. Like, I was clearly see one kid swiping at a coin, and he's hitting it, but it's not registering that. And yes, there were moments that, you know, you wanted to throw it on the ground while you're eating dinner, watching it. Like, this, you know, this sucks. This is BS. You know, they should have won. But
I mean, I'm gonna have to kind of side with Joe when it comes to that. As a kid, it did annoy me a lot that there was a lot of lag. It would definitely piss me off if I was on the show and I'm sitting there like looking at it, trying to like swipe at the coin and, you know, getting damaged. And I'm like, no, I'm not, man. Like, come on. I get really pissed about that too. So I understand where Joe's coming from.
I mean, I appreciate that, but you're right. At sometimes, like with me and Tyler, I always love just when we have, you know, our own different, you know, opinions and interpretations of things. I always say sometimes it's, I think, the experiences not only of like how we, you know, first experience stuff, whether sometimes him with videotapes, me live at TV, but also times with possibly the age gap. Because with me, you know, I am older and I always had this just me being a video game player, you know, how I was back then, I always realized patterns. I understood I would do this and I'm touching this. So when I'm seeing something, when there's interaction not happening, my crazy, insane video game player brain's going off like, why is that not working? I could picture me playing a video game, and if I'm touching that damn coin and the coin's not working, I'm going nuts. So I'm seeing it in life, in real form, and it's driving me bananas. You know, but I know maybe when Tyler, you know, he's slightly younger, sure, he just might be more having a rush of, damn, this is a freaking adventure. I'm in a game, and maybe he didn't care about me. I think it's just my game aspect. I was nuts with that stuff. Like I said, just patterns and things, so there's always differences, but, you know, either way, I mean, that was a great show. It was a fantastic show.
I didn't say I was oblivious to the goofs in the show because I
– No, not saying you were. I'm just saying I wonder if sometimes, possibly, just inherently, maybe just how it was. You were younger. I was older. Maybe you just really didn't care.
You were much more fun than I was when the show was on. Is that what you're trying to say, Joe?
Yes, that is what I'm saying. No, I'm just saying for you, you might not really have cared. You're talking to one person that was a lunatic with games. You might not have been as nuts with the games as I was. So I just think it could have been different impressions of just how a game.
I could have beaten you terribly in King Griffey Jr. Major League Baseball for Super Nintendo. I can't beat Nathan in that, but I could have crushed you in that one.
No. Yeah, well, I mean, you are right about that. You will never beat me at that game.
But no, I mean, like I said, I never as much as I rented games as a child and played them religiously as a child. I would never have considered myself super hardcore because I was also into comic books and action figures and still collecting He-Man, Thundercats, and G.I. Joe, Turtles, and so forth. Movies, watching, you know, games. It was all kind of part of this big puzzle for me. Whereas, obviously, I think with Joe, you know, he was Jimmy Woods from The Wizard. That's what Joe was.
You know,
constantly looking for California and he got 50,000 on Double Dragon.
No, but you know, that kind of was it, because I told you, as when I started becoming the video game player, that's when I was done with playing with action figures and collecting them and watching pretty much a lot of cartoons. It was video games and certain things, and of course loving the movies. And of course, you're older, you're starting to date, so it was different. So yeah, just different experiences.
Oh, you know, I was chasing girls in daycare, just so you know here. So it's not about the
chasing,
you know,
girls in daycare, crapping his pants with some handy snacks, getting real excited when they walk through that door in Nick Arcade.
Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean, just going out. That's and of course I'll. Well, you know, I guess you can have a date at any certain age because.
Well, Joe was taking girls to go see Extra in theaters. So
exactly. Yeah. So I was super young then. I mean, what a first date experience to see one of the grossest movies in history. Well, not in history because I haven't seen it since then. All I remembered was it was super gross when I seen
just
it.
Just watch the trailer. The trailer alone for. Do you know the movie Extra, Nathan?
What is it?
It's called Extra. It's like if you go to rottencotton.com, it's on one of their shirts. It's like this boy with an alien standing behind him.
Hey, just type in extra. It's X and
yeah. And the VHS cover was quite like memorable as a kid. But
I think when you guys are talking about it, I think the VHS cover, I'm kind of visualizing it in my head.
I think you would really recognize it if you just do a quick search. But the trailer alone is gross as hell. So So I have no doubt that that movie is probably still just as gross as it looks. I've never seen it. I just remember seeing it in the video stores all the time.
It was gross. It was bad. It was a bad movie. Haven't seen it since I was a kid, but I remember.
It was first date taking a girl to go see Extra.
I went on a date and took a girl to see Free Willy 2, so, you know.
That was probably going to make her cry. She was going to be all India, whereas Extra, she's going to be puking in a popcorn bag.
Yeah, but that would be kind of funny, though, right? Like, that'd be a good first date.
Bad as that. I'm reaching into the tub of popcorn, just pulling up vomit. It's like, that's fantastic.
I got too much butt here.
No, that's, oh God, don't say that. What if it was all slippery? Wasn't paying attention. I think it was super buttered. And oh God, we got to stop thinking about that. All right. Well, now another one for Nickelodeon, which this one, super excited. I love watching Finders Keepers. So Nathan, I know you have to have experience with Finders Keepers.
Believe it or not, I did not remember Finders Keepers. Tyler actually texted me like, hey, you should check this out on YouTube. And maybe just blank space being younger, but no experience with Finders Keepers that I can recall.
Oh, well, what did you think, at least once you started YouTube and what did you think of the show?
I thought it was interesting. Like, it's a cool concept, and the one or two episodes that I did watch, like, the kids on that show seemed to already know, like, what was going on. Like, the dude wouldn't even finish the question and they would answer it correctly. I'm like, oh, well, what's going on here?
See, that's these kids did dry runs on the show before they actually tape it. Like, they, or at least they're familiar with, you know, the rooms and where they've got to go, almost, you know. Maybe not completely, because they still would get lost, you know, and still can't find anything in those rooms sometimes.
But, yeah, you've seen how that started off first when they played Finders Keepers. They would originally, like, circle things that they had to find, and then they started interacting the next season where they grabbed like sticky things to slap up on the board. In the original, in like the first seasons, it's like they pretty much knew what they were looking for. Like every time you looked at the puzzle that you had to circle, heck, half time you only seen four things on that board. You see like a cupcake, a shovel, a pickaxe, whatever it was. And so like this dessert, and before they even said it, bam, they hit the button and they circled. It's like they knew, oh, it had to be the cupcake. But there was, you know, sometimes they had a hard time finding it. But then when it got past that and got into the rooms, what I've told Tyler, at least from what I thought it looked like, it started off with kind of the first season to where it seemed harder. Because they would describe, you know, something, then they'd start looking at, and everything was so messy and cluttered in these rooms that they'd have to find a single coin, and it could have been in one of 40 freaking shirts or something on the floor. They never found it. And then in the next season, it's like, my God, just, oh, you lift up the hamper, and there's this just a gigantic thing, so easy to find, even to where the, what I hated was, I've never liked people giving others clues. But they would, the host would sometimes like, come on, look everywhere. You can even look down. You can look over to your right. I'm like, well, why don't you just pick it up for them?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but you forget, how, like, on that show, like, hey, if you open a door, you'll always walk through this. I'm like, what does that mean? It was just like the items themselves, like, they're riddles almost, you know? I mean, they're very, you know, version of riddles. They're not like, you know, Edward Nigma riddles. But it just felt like you got 30 seconds, like, what the hell does he mean by that? You know, sometimes they were like, you know, self-explanatory, like, Frankenstein's favorite baseball food is this, Frankfurter, you know, sense. But some of them are just, I'm not surprised they didn't find it at all, you know, because it, but I appreciate that because it was a challenging show.
That's what I liked. I liked because it was so challenging. You know, I like that.
And
show.
Harvey did the narrative just like on Dare, Double Dare.
Yeah, and then, you know, what's funny is, you know, you're talking about how some of these hosts try to be funny, and then sometimes there's like skits they would try to do where have somebody doing something in the background before. It's like, I don't care about any of this nonsense. It's silly. Yeah. Nobody's laughing. Just get off the stage. Let these kids play. You can even tell the kids look annoyed. They're, you know, they're doing something in front of the kid or in the background. The host says, I'm like, hey, what do you think of him? And they're like, yeah, like they don't care. Like, I want to look for something and win prizes. Get the hell out of my way, just so I can do what I want to do.
Well, see, yeah, even the Nick Arcade host is definitely a lot better than the Finders Keepers host. Where, you know, even though he's, you know, obnoxious because of how overly animated it is, there's a little bit of. See, I couldn't picture anybody hosting Nick Arcade other than I can't remember his name. at the moment here. But he was somewhat likable. Whereas, you know, the Finders Keepers host is about, you know, as Joe has said before about certain people, white bread. You know, just plain, boring. There's nothing here. He's just wearing that goofy sweater and, you know, you know, it's funny that it's like they think kids are dumb. You just put any, you know, Joe Blow and, you know, hosting the show and it's going to be a hit. Like, a lot of these guys didn't leave the impression that, like, Mark Summers did, you know, or, you know, we'll look at Mike O'Malley from Guts. Like, yeah, I remember he was obnoxious as hell, though, you know, but the Finders Keepers host is pretty forgettable. Like, he just doesn't leave. He's like, he's trying so hard and no one's laughing. This is one of those, you know, I went back to refresh my memory on Finders Keepers. I mean, the kids aren't laughing. The audience isn't laughing. It's just a lot of awkwardness when these guys are trying to be funny. You know, nobody's paying attention. I mean, the crickets aren't even making noise.
Well, that's because they're manically depressed.
Yeah.
No, but that is, you're right. That's what makes the show, is much as they didn't realize it, you need to have a host that's at least entertaining or you feel comfortable with. Because with Mark Summers, you felt comfortable with them. The kids would laugh. They looked like they're always smiling. They didn't look like they were, you know, not at ease. But almost every other one of the game shows, I mean, the kids just looked like, you know, they're ready to just pass out and have a heart attack. They looked uncomfortable. They looked stressed. And these hosts weren't helping at all with their idiotic jokes and their sidekicks doing something or fumbling through their words and just confusing them. It just, a host makes a show, too. And I think maybe that was the reason a lot of these things just went away, you know, quickly. But, you know, with Finders Keepers real quick, that's, you know, it gave me the same feel, but I liked it better. But like when we were talking about Hidden Temple, you know, with going from this room to that room, I remembered watching them run, like, you know, when they're at the end and maybe they'd have to go to this room, then they had to go downstairs and then they had to go over here and then they go back upstairs. Like, oh my God, they're never going to do it in whatever time they have to run through all these rooms. You felt like this is never going to happen. Always hated seeing when they went down, up, you know, remember how, like, you know, in some of the later seasons, they're like bathroom, kitchen, you know, here, what a bakery. They're showing all the lights and orders like, oh man, they're going up and down at least three times. This is never going to happen.
But, I mean, that's what I think makes it, you know, I mean, it's a show that, aside from the goofy host, the concept is really, really good. I mean, I feel like a lot of these shows could still be used today. I mean, Double Dare could still be done today. I think Nick Arcade, especially with video games and gaming being as popular as it is today, seems like it would be a staple on modern Nickelodeon TV, but now they're too busy doing, you know, trying to be, you know, the Disney Channel, you know, light. I mean, Finders Keepers, it's a great concept. I think it's a very challenging show. And I think that's something I think that they really ought to reconsider, you know, bringing back game shows for kids on Nickelodeon. You know, I think Finders Keepers should be one. Well, pretty much most of them. I mean, Legend of the Hidden Temple, it was another, I mean, can we really say, well, do you guys remember Make the Grade? That was another game show that was more about, like,
no,
academics.
No, I don't.
Things like that. Oh boy, well, now, that's, I mean, one.
Well, they have Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader? So I guess they did kind of bring that back, right?
Yeah, when you got Jeff Foxworthy and the rest of the blue collar comedy tour associated with that show, you know, it's just like, nah, who, you know, no one gives a rat's ass about this show.
Did you guys see the video with the host of Nick Arcade? It may have been like a year or two ago where he was talking about how he wanted to bring the show back for a new generation.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, you guys should look that up on YouTube. But he was at a convention doing, like, a signing, I believe, and someone did an interview with him from a gaming website, and he talked about how he was working with some production company at the time, and he was going to try to bring the show back. Because, like you said, gaming, with as popular as it is, it would definitely work today, and they could improve upon, like, the ending now, and Joe and I wouldn't get so mad when they're grasping at the coins and not getting them. So
yeah, since all the games nowadays, yeah, you're right, since they do have interaction with, you know, actual video games nowadays, I'm sure they should be able to nail that now to where it wouldn't be as sensitive where it screws up. You figure if you're touching it, it's gonna work. So that would be great. I mean, I'd love to see Nick Arcade, Double Dare come back. You know, the only one that I never watched a lot, that I'm sure this is pretty much the last Nick, you know, channel game show, was when Tyler talks about Guts. I'll be honest, I don't remember a lot of episodes. I had to have Tyler talk a little bit about it until I started remembering. But Nathan, did you remember Guts? Because what was that? Was that like combining a bunch of different? What was that?
Guts was basically a competition show. Three kids would go through various events and earn a certain amount of points. And at the end, they go to the Aggro Crag, which I'm sure a lot of people, aside from Joe, apparently know about. Just the big structure that you got to climb up. And if I'm not mistaken, Tyler, there was also like a penalty at the end. Like the kids would have to start at different times. Like the one in the lead would get to go first, or did they all go at the same time?
No, there were some penalties. I remember where I think someone with a higher score was allowed like a 10-second head start. I forget the specifics of it, but yeah, there were some head starts allowed for some of the contestants due to I forgot what it was something that they would rack up throughout the show through the various events and
certain like a mountain or something in a certain
the Aggro Crag.
Okay, I just can't remember how.
Yeah, it would be like big foam rocks and confetti being blown up in your face. And
did they have to get something at the top?
I mean, it looked really, really cool. And you had to get to the top of the mountain and hit the button to signify that you were the first one out there. But a lot of times it didn't matter. You could be, you know, hitting number one, first place in all these various events. I mean, there were like these kind of rope wire events you had to crawl through. And I mean, there was a. It was another cool concept, but then you have Mike O'Malley's trying to act all thug life and rapperish, you know, like, dude, come on, we're not all us kids are not rappers and aspiring to be rappers. Don't be acting like you're from the streets, Mike O'Malley. So,
was that how basically, he acted? I can't
remember. Oh, sorry, but, Joe.
No, you're fine. I was like, I just didn't remember it. That's why I was curious, you know, your thoughts, because I just don't remember the show that well.
Mike O'Malley, like the thing that I remember most, and it. On the DVDs was even more evident. It's just, he's like this the entire time.
Yeah. He's all about getting in front of that camera. Yeah.
And not only doing that, but like yelling. And it's just like, sensory overload.
Yeah.
God,
but it was a really cool show then. I all these shows we talked about, I mean, I would watch religiously as a kid, you know, Double Dare was always my favorite. Nick Arcade probably would have been I mean, if not tied, preferring the close second, because I love Nick Arcade. Guts, I kind of got to where I'm like, I'm so sick of the host here, but it was still a fun show to tune him out and enjoy these various, you know, sport obstacles from, they'd have to get in like, I think these, didn't they have some boats where they have to kayak in a pool?
Yeah, they had
and
to, try to, yeah, they had they to had, kayak across the pool, and they would have like jets that were coming through from the sides. You see these kids, and they're just, like, struggling and running out of breath, and the time runs out, and they're just kind of, like, there in the middle of the pool, and the adults that are in there with them, like, waist high, are just, like, have to come and grab them, and the kid just looks like they're about to cry. It's pretty awesome.
Wow. Yeah, that one just, it doesn't, yeah, I guess I didn't watch it a lot. If I did, it was just maybe just once, every once in a while. Yeah, that one does
well,
not.
Well, he's too busy taking girls out to the movies by that point. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, but yeah, so it didn't resonate. But this last one, I'm praying, I'm crossing my fingers, Nathan, that you watch it. Please, for the love of God, tell me this is one that has nothing to do with Nickelodeon. We're talking about Video Power. Did you grow up one? Oh man, tell me your thoughts, because me and Tyler and you, I'm sure we can babble about this one.
I remember watching it a lot as a kid, especially at the end, and we're going to get into that, but like just the kids like going through, throwing the games on themselves. I'm just like, I wish I could do that. It was almost like the Toys R Us
shopping spree,
but with video games. And I'm just like, but they always picked out the worst games. When I watched a couple of the episodes a few days ago, earlier this week, the stuff when he's like throwing the games off, I'm like, oh god, why'd that kid pick Bayou Billy of all things? You could have had so many other games, and that's what you went with.
Yeah, and then when they say, you know, like Andre Agassi tennis or some nonsense, I'm like, oh yeah, that's what I want. I want to grab this worthless tennis game or whatever else it was. But
why would you do that?
They pick some bad ones, but that. Oh, man, that was my show. That was the one I was like, God, I'd love being. I love watching it, all four of them competing, trying to get to the next round. Then it's two, trying to get to the final round. but we were unfortunately graced with one of the most insane, just horrible hosts you can imagine. First, you know, Video Power, before it became that like video game show, it was a cartoon that they had. They had this, the cartoon wasn't much better. The cartoon was terrible. And the same guy, you know, Johnny Arcade, he like hosted the cartoon, like in between skits. But then they called, hey, let's do a video game show, which thank God they did. And I can't remember if that lasted, what was it, maybe one or two seasons with the video, with the actual arcade game playing? I don't know. But this guy, he's one that was, I guess it was supposed to be all improvised, everything he did, apparently. I mean, he was just going on, you know, just right, you know, like the seat of his pants. But he was never funny. He would drive kids insane. But Tyler told me about it. He's like, Joe, you got to watch this one episode. You've got to see this episode where there's this kid that didn't, you know, he didn't make it to the final round. He's like, you got whatever the hell, it, I forgot what the game was. He's like, you got
Womp.
He's like,
it was Womp.
Womp him. Yeah, because he gave it to the girl. He's like, he gave it to the girl. You got Womp him. You happy? Are you happy? And she was smiling. And they went to the other guy, you got Womp him. Then the kid is just looking with this most depressed look in the world. He's like, you happy? And then he's like, come on, smile, say yeah. And you see this kid like barely say yeah. And then he pushes him off. And that's Tyler. You better go. Because when you talk about this next part, oh, it killed me. I watched it like 30 times in a row.
I told Nathan, yeah, I think this was like two, like 3 or 4 years ago. I told Nathan about this particular episode because I just looked it up to see if I could find it. And I stumbled across was, for people who aren't familiar with the show would start out with the kids and the audience asking Johnny Arcade, you know, trivia or questions about how to beat certain things in certain games.
And I hated
be
that
about
part.
The
yeah, because he was always so smug about it. He's like, oh, this and this. And, yeah, I know what you're talking about. Sorry.
About one game that they're going to do. And then the second part of the show was they pick four kids in the audience and play RoboCop or play Ninja Turtles or play DuckTales or Chippendales Rescue Rangers. And the two out of four of the kids would make it to the trivia round. And it was just, if you've ever seen the movie The Wizard, that's what this game show was. It was like a game show version of The Wizard. And this kid, he doesn't do well, I guess, because he's like the tallest of all the kids there. He loses. He's wearing like this goofy blue sweater and he's like pink. And he looks like he's going to, you know, walk back to his seat in the audience and slit his wrist and just kind of sit there and wait for the show to end and his life as well. And the host's like, hey, come on, man, smile. And I mean, it's on YouTube. Look up the episode Video Power RoboCop. And he pushes the kid away and make it sound like the kid walked into the traffic and got hit.
By a bus.
Which is probably what happened when the show was over. You know, he walks out with his wampum, stands in front of a Mack truck trailer and just gets crushed, you know, with his wampum.
Hey, but to be fair, I think wampum's worth a decent amount of money now, so joke's on them, right?
Oh,
I guess
is it?
That like DuckTales. I mean, because that's an extremely high commodity video game as well. I think DuckTales was one of the games they played on there as well. Yeah. Well, on this show is that the kids that make it to the trivia round, they'll ask them questions about the RoboCop 2 film. Like in RoboCop 2, what drug is RoboCop trying to stop? And like, I mean, it's awesome because as a kid we're watching this, but look at it now. These kids are like nuke. What this particular drug was in the sequel to a hard R movie, it was just like, man, the 90, early 90s and 80s are just balls to the wall, kick ass, man. What other children's games can questions about rated R films to children? I love this show, man. God, I'm so thankful we grew up when we did to have experienced this stuff.
Yeah, it was the last good times, 80s into 90s. And Video Power, you're right. The other thing that I always found amusing was when they would talk to those final two kids and doing the trivia back and forth. And if it's, they would even ask questions about the game they just played and they don't even know the answer. Or there was the one time they were playing, I think it was, I don't know if it was WWF Arcade or whatever the one wrestling game was.
Was it WrestleMania Challenge? Or it was just, what's the first WrestleMania for Nintendo, Nathan? It's just WrestleMania, right?
Well, the first one was WrestleMania, and then I think the second one was WrestleMania Challenge.
Yeah, I think they're
yeah, the first one's got Hogan tearing his tank top on the cover of it. I think that was the first one. I think it's the one they played video challenge. Or
no, I think they were doing, they might have been doing WrestleMania. Yeah, I think they were doing WrestleMania challenge, because I know that first one, just WrestleMania, to where like the little icons would pop in the ring. Remember that powered you up? This one was the, yeah, it wasn't that one. This was the other one. I think they had the Ultimate Warrior in it, so that's why it should have been Wrestling Challenge. So they're sitting there and they're obviously like, you know, he said, who's your favorite wrestler? And then the one girl said, Ravishing Rick Rude. And now this is a child. This girl was, what, 12? I don't know how old. And he was like, yeah, you like muscles? He's like, you like my body, huh? Maybe after the show. He's like, oh, well, maybe we won't talk about that. I'm like, what are you talking about? This girl's 12. He's sitting there like flirting and hitting on a 12-year-old girl. It's like, this guy's just brain is gone. But then what's funny is they'd ask a question about that game. And sure enough, the first question was, what is Ravishing Rick Rude's finishing maneuver called? And the girl's standing there. She didn't know it. Yeah. And they went, and then he gave options. Like, I was like, yeah, you're a big Ravishing Rick Rude fan. But I mean, that host, he would interact where he's grabbing the kids. It looks like he's choking them, pushing them around, you know, telling the corny jokes. Nothing was funny at all. But this guy was just absolutely, he was the worst host in history. And the guy who is the like co-host that would, you know, talk about, all right, she's got, you know, 30 seconds left and she's got about 5,000 points. And this person over here has got, you know, that guy was a cool one. Like Tyler said,
I like that. Well, I thought he was cool. He should have been the only host on that show.
Yeah, he should have been. I keep thinking that Johnny Arcade, he had have known somebody really well. He had have been a spoiled kid.
His uncle or his father must have been financing that game show. And he's like, no, we're going to make my boy give the actual professional host the co-hosting job, and we're gonna let my boy interact with the kids and, you know, dance around and play grab ass with the kids and stuff like that.
Yeah, because he had zero, just zero talent, and there was
it's
no
charisma. Way. It was, you know, he had the charisma of an ice cube. He just, you know.
Because there was no structure. Yeah, he didn't sit there and have a good delivery of how he started every episode and saying something else. It was just off-the-wall insanity. There was no structure at all. Like I said, he was the craziest host. But then we get to the end, and what you were saying, Nate.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Talk about the most exciting thing that every kid dreams of. Because, like, I have all my games over there, you know, in a different section, like Genesis, Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Master, whatever. And I used to trial run fake, hold them. I never had a sticky thing to test with it. But as you know, you can put them on there and grab stuff. You'd get kids that you'd think that maybe they told them, all right, you got a $40 limit. Grab one game. You know, that's what you'd think, because they would start going. I was like, are you going to grab something? Like, there's two examples that drove me super crazy. This one kid, he's looking through. He's not seeing nothing. He's looking, goes all the way up to the top. I'm like, okay, you're at the top. You have not a single game. Then he grabbed the one that he liked, and he went down the chute. I'm like, huh? That wasn't even the one to win a prize. Like, you grab one game. Another kid went through, couldn't find nothing, went to the top, looked. He went to the chute with nothing. And the hosts were screaming. They said, grab something. Grab anything. And they ran up there and were grabbing stuff with them and threw them down the chute. Because I was like, what are you doing? I mean, I would try to grab 20, 30 games. Like, there was this one kid who was a genius. He grabbed a whole bunch. There was that one tall kid. You know, not the one Tyler's talking about, but there was this one kid. He looked like an older kid. I mean, he loaded them up, not only on him, but he was holding more. There's a ton. This other kid got a bunch, went to the top, threw it down, grabbed a backpack, threw it down. And before he went down, he grabbed another backpack, threw it down, and went down with it. I was like, that's what you should be doing. But, I mean, did you ever envision and dream and hoped you would have been at that end to grab games? And did you ever trial run and fake it? I know I did.
No, I never trial run anything like that. That was only you.
Well, Nathan, tell me, you had to.
I never trial runned it, like, actually doing that like you did. But I always dreamed of it because I was kind of honestly like you when you were talking about earlier how once you really got into video games, it sort of, the action figure part sort of faded away. I was almost kind of the same way. Like, I got super into games when my parents got me the Nintendo when I was 5, and it just sort of went from there. But I would have loved to have been on that show. I kind of feel like Johnny Arcade may have pulled those kids to the side before then. It's like, listen, you know, if you do this, then I'm going to, like, kill your mom or something. I'm there with nothing. Who knows? That's really weird, though.
Yeah, I mean, for anybody that's listening to us, too, yeah, definitely YouTube, you know, video power. Just watch some of these episodes, but you won't believe what you see at the end with them grabbing nothing. You know, me, you know, like I love seeing that, you know, they could win a 3DO, they could, you know, win a TurboGrafx and a CD player and then the Genesis and whatever the hot system was, and they gave you an option of all those games, because as you know, they never played any other system on that show except Nintendo, if I'm not mistaken. They didn't do Genesis or anything else. It was strictly Nintendo, and then they could have a chance to win a Genesis and grab tons of games. But
I think, didn't
yeah,
they have
that's what
Game Boy as like one of the prizes on the show as well?
I think they did. Yeah, I think they did offer the
Yeah.
Game Boy and
I don't know
Game
if Game Boy was
Gear.
introduced.
You know,
I
like
think
you said,
I maybe I'm thinking of one of the prizes on one of the other shows that we've done, because Double Dare offered a wide variety of prizes, stuff like that too. But
oh.
I want to say I thought in the mall that they had the Game Boy and a lot of other like Nintendo
They
accessories and stuff
did.
like that inside the And
And I want to take back what I said
but
earlier. They didn't have 3DO. I was wrong. They offered the Neo Geo as a prize. And remember, that was one system I couldn't afford. And I didn't know if you ever remembered, Nathan, but the Neo Geo, I think the system was close to $800. And each game for Neo Geo was 250 because it was basically like having an arcade board, you know, in a game.
yeah, you gotta kind of wonder, like, with Neo Geo, even the TurboGrafx, like the prices that they were charging for those back then, like, Jesus. No wonder, like, no one bought them, because.
Couldn't afford,
Yeah. But the
especially
Neo
after
Geo
seeing.
would have been awesome just because of the graphic capabilities. That's, like you said, bringing the arcade home. You would
Right,
think that
yeah,
may have taken off had the price been a little bit lower.
because I never knew anybody that had the system. I mean, I would have felt bad winning the system on the show because I would have never been able to buy a game. No kid is going to be
Yeah.
able to fork out $250 for a game as many times as they want. It's like, no, you're just going to be sticking with your $40 to $50 games that you can save up for when you were a kid. But, oh God, so I never witnessed anybody that had a Neo Geo. I don't even know if they gave those away as, like, at the end that, you know, you could win the system, but do you remember if they offered Neo Geo games throughout the, you know, the whole place to grab, you know, in the whole run? Did they offer those games to be grabbed?
I just remember Nintendo games, just that, and the specific game you always had to look for was a Nintendo game too. Like, it was always Nintendo based. I don't recall ever seeing, anything Sega related on
You're
there. I
kidding.
mean,
No, they had
nothing.
tons of, oh yeah, they had tons of Genesis stuff and Game Gear, but they offered, it was like some of the times, like if you find James Buster Douglas or Douglas Boxing or Evander Holyfield Boxing, you could win a Sega Genesis. But they did have
Okay,
Genesis.
I guess just because I had Nintendo, I was more inclined to pay attention to the Nintendo aspect. So I clearly missed the Sega stuff, and now that you're talking about it, I remember vaguely some of the Sega stuff mentioned. Like I said, I've been Nintendo all my life anyway, so I'm gonna
Yeah,
be more fond of
I
it.
ner
Well, I mean, like the special games, like for people who never watched the show, but before you're sent off in the mall, the host tells you if you want a, I mean, the larger prize at the end of every specific game inside the mall, and grab it and take it with you along with everything else you want to, and you get like a special prize in it. I remember the Jackie Chan Nintendo game was one of them, because I really wanted to play that game as a kid. Do you guys remember that? The Jackie Chan Nintendo game? It was like
Yes.
him on the cover, like wearing like a black tank top, I think, or something like that.
I remember the game.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it like to rent, but I never bothered with it.
Yeah, I remember that being like one of the special games that they said if you find this game, you'll win like the grand prize at the end of the show and stuff like that. But it was a lot of fun to watch that sequence of sticking all those games with Velcro attached to your head and all over yourself and grabbing stuff. They had like a big bike and just a whole lot of cool stuff. It's a shame that all these great concepts too. That's another show, not just Nick Arcade, but Video Power would be a. I think a blast for young kids to play on, and especially as expensive as games are today, and to have like the latest, PlayStation upgrade or latest Xbox as one of the prizes on Video Power for the kids to run through the video game store, and now it'd probably just be called like I guess you'd say like GameStop being like a sponsor of the show or something like that, and having like a wide variety of accessories and stuff like that. I think it'd be a lot of fun, but I'm just thankful we got to experience it, because kids today will never know. They'll never know that. I don't know what's the best word to describe it, guys.
Joy, excitement, I don't know, or I don't know. Yeah, they have like E-League that's on TBS, but I don't flip over that, and they consider it a sport. And that makes me think, man, I grew up in the wrong time. I mean, could you imagine if they would have had all these big prizes and things for when we were growing up? But that's what I mean. They're just, here and there, that wherever you might get a chance to play in a video game
Appreciate
tournament.
the simplicity, of those times too, whereas, the things have gotten a lot more grandiose and epic, and things like that. But I wouldn't have traded an opportunity to be on Video Power and run through that mall for anything,
Oh, no, not at all. It would have been great. No, that, yeah. And hopefully, you never know. Maybe something else will happen in the future. I just would love to see, like you said, game shows make a return for kids, not all the nonsense stuff, garbage you're watching on TV. It would be cool. And Nathan, I hope you felt like, you got to say enough, because I know you said some of these things you remember, some you didn't. But definitely the next episode that we do, I think you're going to have a lot more to say, probably, and get excitement, because we're going to be doing coming up our horror month. So I know you're a
Yes.
horror fan, right?
Yes, sir. One thing I wanted to ask you at the beginning that Tyler had mentioned to me last week, he wanted me to hit you up real quick. Rank the Friday the 13th films.
Okay. There's always three that are some of my favorite, and I flip-flop them around, but I have to put Part 7 as my top, just because I loved seeing Kane Hodder. It's ingrained so much into my head. The first time I seen it, him and what he did, you knew you were in for something special, because he brought a kind of like feeling and life to Jason, the way that you never seen him move, with almost this heavy breathing, the way he turns his head, then moves, hit one spooky eye, even though we've seen his eyes and other ones, but there's just a portrayal that he did that is memorable. Obviously, it was memorable enough to where it brought him back from Part 8, Part 9, and then, Jason X. But Part 7, I would say, is my favorite. Part 3, because, well, that's when not only Jason got his mask for the first time, but damn it, I just love 3. And I have 4 as being my third pick, because, you got Tommy, who's a gamer. He's liking his horror stuff, and it just freaked you out as being a kid, the thought of, my God, what if I've seen Jason? So I would say, yeah, so it's 7, then 3, then 4. Oh, man. 6. 2. 5.
All right.
Yeah, that's why you see it's
Oh,
going
he's
well.
ranked five above the first one, and Jason Takes Manhattan here, man.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna admit, it's just me being, well, I can't help
If it
it.
was
Yeah.
strictly because you liked the idea of the fat kid getting killed by that guy named Vic over the chocolate bar, if that was your sole reason for ranking Friday Five so high, I'd give it to you.
And you know what?
But I know that's not your.
What do you remember what the fat kid's name was? I don't. Well, I'll never forget it. It's Joey, my name. So yes, I always remember.
Joey.
You always remember, yeah, Joey.
I remember the axe murderer, Vic. If that's the way it's going, just forget it, Vic.
Just forget it. Yeah, but you're really out of line or whatever. And bam, he gets it.
Yeah,
Well, then
they
I
said
go to
axe.
Part 1. Like I said, Part 1, it's good, but yeah, I admit, I fell in love with the character Jason. But no, I still, yes, I love 1. Then I go to Part 9. Oh no, I'm sorry. Then I go to, if I didn't mention 8, Part 8, because again, I love Kane Hodder, but I just didn't feel the feel that I get when he's, at the camp. I love the camp feel.
How can you put 5 over 8, Joe?
Yeah,
You know
I don't understand the
what's funny?
logic in
I'll tell you.
either.
I used to hate Part 5, because that wasn't really Jason. But then the more I started watching as an adult, I was like, kind of into this. Not only just because, I mean, it was a cool twist of everything, but they had some iconic characters. You have Ethel, when she's, I won't say all the cussing, but you remember what she would say in a lot of
He
the
was
scenes.
obnoxious, though. I didn't think there was anything fun about that character.
I started loving her more than anything. I just really got into her character. And of course, I like the thing of Tommy, the hallucinating and stuff, because, that's the only time you get to kind of see Jason was in his hallucinations. And that used to scare me as a kid. See, some of this probably might be from a kid, some growing up. Things changed. But yes, Part 9, then I put after Part 8, then I put Part 10. And oh, wait, well, I guess I can't count Freddy. Well, I. Dang it, I love Freddy
You
versus
can
Jason.
count Freddy versus Jason if you want to.
Oh, damn it, then that would throw off my whole entire system. It's still up. That would be in my top four then, because I love
Oh,
Freddy versus
so.
I love
So,
it. I love it.
all right.
Well, here's why. I was anticipating that movie, as you know, at the end of, you know, Jason Goes to Hell, when the glove came up and took down the mask. I was waiting for the movie. We were supposed to be getting it. In fact, I have a tombstone for Spencer Gifts that I think they put out in 1997, maybe, or no, sorry. It might have been 98 at Spencer Gifts, or it was 97, where it said Freddy versus Jason. So I waited and waited, and it took over 10 years. And then we finally get the movie, and I was just hyped and hot to want to go see it. And I was experiencing the interaction when I went to the theater on opening night. I mean, the crowd was sick. I mean, they were a sick insanity of screaming and loving every moment of seeing Jason. It's like they were pro Jason. I went back the next night, and then the night after that, each time they're going insane for Jason. It was the only movie I've ever gone to see three times in the theater. So that just, I was so into it. And the remake, I didn't think that was bad at all. Unlike the Halloween remakes, which were absolute garbage in my opinion, the Friday the 13th remake was pretty damn good.
It was awesome.
Yeah, it's like they meshed 1, 2, 3, 4 all together and gave elements of all of them. But it's tricky, you know, because, you know, I guess I was put on this, you know, the spot right there of saying my favorites. But it's weird. I almost don't hate any of the movies you really hate. There's some that, you know, I guess I'd rank lower. But, well, you might as well say yours now. What would you?
All right, putting me on the spot. Number one, I'm going to go with Part 6. And
okay.
Tyler gave me some crap about Part 6 a little bit, but that one's my favorite just because that's when we're starting to get it's starting to lose a little bit of that seriousness and bring apart what I love for so much about those later sequels. So I'd go with Part 6. Then after that, I would probably go Part 4, because to me that's sort of like the essential Friday the 13th. If you're gonna pick one to show somebody that really wants to get into it, I would probably start with that one. After that, I would go with Part 3, and then Part 8. Oh, man.
See, it's hard, isn't it?
Yeah, man, okay. I think after that, I would probably throw the remake in there.
Okay.
Part 7, and then I'm going to kind of rank them a little low. I'm going to do Part 2 and then Part 1. I mean, they're good for what they are, but when you compare them to, like, the sequels, to me, they just don't hold up as much. After that, man, it's so hard to, because 5 and Jason Goes to Hell and Part 10 are just so bad. Man, I'd probably have to go Part 5 just because it's different, at least, and then 10, and then Jason Goes to Hell, and then probably Freddy versus Jason right there at the bottom.
Okay, see through that last. Hey, one
terrible.
Quick thing.
It's pretty terrible. Yeah. Like, when Tyler and I saw in theaters opening night, like, we were super excited like you were. And we left the theater, and we were just like, oh, yeah, that was really great. And then we went back and watched the second time. It's kind of like, nah, I'm not so sure. And then when I got it on DVD, like, Kelly Rowland, or whatever her name was, just so bad. Every line of dialogue she's got to shake her head at, and just some of the lines, I'm like, who wrote this?
I admit the dialogue wasn't that amazing, but it's just me. It was just, I always wanted that epic battle, Freddy versus Jason, and I just love seeing, I mean, you waited years to see it happen, and I think that's why I just got into it, the fight they had. I just got so much into it. One quick little thing about trivia, you know, you picked Part 6 as being your favorite, which I do love 6 also, and that's the first time, obviously, you've seen all the kids at camp, but that was the only one out of the whole series that didn't have any nudity was Part 6, and I always said, you know, hey, every Friday the 13th movie has got nudity, it's got boobs, you know, because I used to always say, Hooter alert, I remember always saying that anytime I'd see in a movie, but 6 didn't have that. I don't know why, but 6 didn't happen. It was a good movie.
It had a kid wearing mecha neck PJs from He-Man.
And yes, he had the kid at the end wearing mecha neck PJs. But yeah, that's a strange little trivia. I always wondered why they left it out. But either way, yeah, there's all great series, and that's going to be fun to when we discuss Friday the 13th coming up in October, along with Halloween and Elm Street. We're going to have some good episodes coming up.
Yeah, we got a lot to tackle. We're going to have to kind of break it down into discussing, the franchises and then discussing a particular horror film that's probably not necessarily franchise related or specific of the franchises that we can all agree on that we both like and enjoy and can sit and have a good like part Friday the 13th part 4 I think is universally loved by all three of us, is it not?
Oh, no, definitely. I can't picture even a Friday
Yeah,
13th
I kind
fan
of feel like
hating
that's one we could discuss at great length, not just the series, but we could pick that one, was as one to discuss from the Friday series that I think we all have a greater for the Double Mint twins in that movie too. Well, they were super hot.
it. Oh, yeah.
Man, all the girls in Friday the 13th Part 4 were hot. Yeah, every single one of them. There wasn't a even the mom was like, man, I'd given the mom a go too. There wasn't a single except the banana girl. The banana girl who gets in the back of the neck, squeezes the banana. Yeah, I wouldn't given her
Are
anything,
you
but
sure though? You said all of
well, I'm saying that the group is, I'm not I just I'm specifically saying not the banana hitchhiker. I'm not giving her the time of day.
You want her to squeeze your banana.
Maybe, yeah, why not? Why not? Yeah. She
Just
squeezed my banana.
hopefully not as hard as she did in that movie because she popped the thing off. But well, Tyler, you want to wrap her up then? And
We just want to thank listeners, or whenever you listen to this, we want to thank you for taking the time to go down memory lane with us and go down the Sunday slide with us all here. And hope you enjoyed our reflection on game shows and just one of many topics. And like Joe says, starting next week, we'll be into October and we'll be starting the Halloween type episodes from the Halloween series, Nightmare on Elm Street, Friday the 13th. Could be talking about Pumpkinhead. We could be talking about
Leprechaun,
Spiro Part
Chucky,
2.
anything. Yeah.
Slaughter
Who are
High.
we?
Come on, Tyler.
Yeah,
Slaughter High.
Slaughter High. Who knows what kind of garbage we'll be talking about? But it'll be movies that I think are universal. So, I thank Nathan for joining us here for his first episode, and hope you had a blast, Nathan. And we're all on Facebook. If you got any views you want to share with us, check out the Beyond Retro Facebook page, or check us out on Facebook as well. Joe, you got any finishing thoughts?
I have no finishing thoughts. I don't even have a catchphrase, nothing like that. But yeah, I do appreciate, like I said, everybody that's, watched us live and those who are going to be listening to us, on iTunes and of course watching us on YouTube. It was a blast. And Nathan, it's great having you on the show. And yeah, it's good. Like I said, have another voice to shoot back and forth. And like Tyler said, I hope you enjoyed it. And I don't know if you didn't feel like, you got a chance to say a whole lot, but like I said, this
No,
was just.
this has been a lot of fun. It's nice, like just sitting here and conversing with, like-minded people, especially once we start getting into the horror stuff, because I'll probably have a little more to say next time when we start getting into that.
Yeah, definitely. Because yeah, I mean, with the video game shows, like you said, might not have remembered them all. It was different, but yeah, when we do the horror, I'm certain you're gonna have a whole lot to say. And I guess we're gonna find out next week then.
I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be awesome.
Right. So, well, it was great. It was a good, good episode. And Tyler, if you want to just wrap us off and shut us off, and there you go. If you have a closing remark or anything, and then bam.
You boys, $5 for this. 20. Okay, 10. 15. Okay, 15.
Oh, wow, I don't see. I don't know what Nathan, please tell me you know that.
Nope.
Nathan should know this one.
Nope, he's gonna kill me like Johnny Arcade.
Yeah. Tremors, Kevin Bacon and Walter Chang, I give you boys $5 for this. 20.
Tyler.
It's the first podcast jitters. I'll chalk it up to that.
Oh well.
He's good at finding the lines
As
that
the podcast.
He stumps us. He's good at that. He's stumped me so
Yeah.
many times I can't even count. But all right, guys. Well, again, thank you for joining us, and we'll catch you next week. Hope you enjoy the show. So, catch you next week.
Later.